What's up, y'all? It's another episode of From the Point by Your Favorite Point, presented by Sprite, the clear favorite. Here again with my brother Winston.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yo, we're live in the Bleacher Report app. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. That cast has gotten a little bit smaller since I saw you last on a podcast, man. How you feel? Yeah. I commented on your Instagram post the other day. I thought I was super creative. The return of the Jedi.
Oh, that's
the return of the Jedi.
That's what you're calling it?
The return is near, bro. The return is near.
Yeah,
how you feel?
No, I feel good. I feel good. Definitely, you can see I'm out of my cast that from surgery. So a lot better than what I've been. I can, I can't. You see these knuckles like that? I don't want to go on live TV or live and show you what it is, because it's going to be a meme someday on what my knuckle looks like. But it's getting better. I'm getting close to making a fist again, and then I can get on the court and do some ball handling stuff. And if I wasn't a point guard that needed both my hands to dribble and pass, then I probably would have been able to come back maybe this week, but I may need another week.
When can we expect to see you back on the court?
I mean, I got another call with the doctor next Monday, and hopefully at that point with my rehab, I've been doing rehab every day with Mo and making sure my hand is right even faster. So hopefully next week I can make a fist and I can get out of this cast and then I can play. So hopefully next week.
The return of the Jedi. The return of the Jedi. As of recent, man, the Hawks been rolling, won 5 of their last 6. What's it like, from your perspective, watching on the sidelines and not being able to play, but also knowing that your team is having success?
Oh, I mean, it's different for me. Like, I'm not used to being on the sidelines. So, I mean, having to cheer and do all that the whole game, I'm not used to it. So, I mean, obviously, I want my team to win, so I'm cheering. I even got a tech walking on the court trying to gas my teammate up after he scored. Like, that's how much energy I'm trying to give. So obviously I wish I was out there, but I mean, while I'm not, I'm gonna give the guys everything I have until I get back. So yeah, just trying to give my energy.
Yeah. And is there kind of two, I think my question is two part, but I know the X's and O's in your brain are just like, okay, so my basketball mind is saying, hey, Bogey, like, run over the top of this flare this time. But and then also the flip side is like the emotional side that we talked about in New York, where you haven't really been sidelined before. How do you make sure that, like, you're balanced in that and make sure that, like, you're available for your teammates, but you're also not getting too low of, I'm out, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, instead of continuing my rehab in L.A., after seeing doctors out there, like, I wanted to come back to Atlanta and I can be around the team, still do my rehab here, and then hopefully come back. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to be able to come back after the surgery, and some people didn't know either. So just now coming back, because the rehab process has been really good. So, I mean, because I tore a whole ligament in my, like, right between my pinky and my ring finger. So, I mean, this finger to make your hand wide, like, it was just hanging off. So it's like
fifth finger.
Yeah. They call it the fifth finger, like your pinky, bro. Like, so, but it's different, but I'm just trying to give everything I got. So.
What you think has been clicking for the team lately? Like I said, they won 5 their last 6. DJ Murray been balling.
Yeah. Player of the week.
Yeah.
I think
playing great.
I think, it's a mixture of everything. You gotta think we got Veet coming in. They've been winning games also without Jalen. We just got Jalen back now. In our last game, and we won that game with them. With Kobe coming back, we had a lot of guys out. Even O's been out, so DJ's been doing a lot, carrying a lot. A lot of people joke about his 44 shots, but I mean, we needed every shot from him to win that game. And so, I mean, he's been playing, unbelievable. And Clint has been playing like back in his, the conference finals day. So like, we just, everybody's clicking and playing well, and guys, are just stepping up. Like, that's just the part of the NBA. I mean, DJ says it after his interviews. Like, it's the NBA. Everybody's good. So, the next man up, and Veet has been playing well, Garrison. So, just happy to see everybody playing well. Dre is coming back, playing unbelievable. So, it's just good to see everybody playing well. We got to continue it, especially, I mean, you just got to get right hot at the right time, and hopefully that's what we're doing right now.
Yep, and you guys have been experienced to that hot streak in the past before, so I know you guys are excited to continue to win games and hopefully make a postseason push. I think what's really important to highlight is the of those five wins, two of which have been to the number one seed Celtics. And if I'm not mistaken, the Hawks actually had the largest comeback in franchise history of being down, what, plus 30?
Yeah,
plus 30. What on earth does Coach Quinn tell y'all to motivate you guys when you're down 30? Be like, hey, fellas, like, we got to go. Like,
no, you ain't got to motivate nobody. You're playing the best team in the league. I mean, record-wise, there's not much that he was needing to tell everybody. It was just sometimes when guys are too passive and just unsure about what, I mean, they're doing on the court, like, as far as, like, if they want to score or if they want to pass it, they can make mistakes. And I feel like early in the game when they got the lead, just nobody wanted to, everybody wanted to be perfect, and nobody wanted to just go out there and just play free and just know that they may make a mistake here or there, but at least they're being aggressive. And I think once they got down 30, it was just like everybody's looking at each other like, let's just go out here and play. Let's just be ourselves. And so I think that's just what it is. And anytime you give NBA players confidence, I mean, their talent, I mean, will show. So no matter who it is.
Yeah. As a competitor, I know there's always that term thrown around. It's like, are you playing to win or are you playing not to lose?
Yeah.
And I think that goes hand in hand with, it seems like a lot of times this, as of recent, 20-point leads in NBA are no longer safe leads at all. And it seems like for the Hawks, 30-point leads or 30-point deficits are safe, aren't safe either. Do you think as a player, the game is kind of transforming as like, man, no lead is safe, you know?
No, it's, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's too many great scores in our league. And just with this year alone, I mean, you see so many teams have big leads and lose it. And it doesn't matter who it is. It can be the best team like us. I mean, just coming back and us beating them or vice versa. Like, it happens all the time. So I think that's what makes the game interesting, too. Like, people really want to watch it from beginning to end. Like, because you never know what the game can turn out to be.
Yeah. You talk about watching the game from beginning to end. I know you, right now you can't hoop, but what are some things that you feel like you've learned stepping away from the game for a second because your injury that you've been sitting on the sidelines for and be like, oh, wow, like I actually didn't see something about the game originally from this point of view?
I don't know. I think I'll be able to know what I've learned since I've been watching whenever I get back out there. Like, it's hard for me to know. I mean, just from watching, like, because I'm just so into the game. I'm so into each play. Like, I just want us to score. I just want us to get a stop. I ain't really just been watching like that. Like, for me, I want us to win every game, and whether I'm playing or not, like, I mean, so I'm more focused on that part than trying to learn anything. I mean, when I get out there, I'm obviously going to play within our offense. Like, I'm sure they're going to be wanting me to be aggressive, and I'm going to be wanting to just make sure everybody's involved and still happy the way we've been playing. And we've been playing this way all year. It's just health and making sure guys are healthy. So, I mean, it's got to come back in and fit in, but still be me too.
Of course. I think one thing that I have been reminded of about you is that, man, you get fired up. You like, you get hype on the sidelines. You're a good teammate. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes everybody just, you know, needs a little bit of reminder, especially them talking heads out there that say that folks aren't good teammates and all that. So,
yeah. My teammates know who I am.
I know. But I'm not in the locker room. I'm your boy. So,
you're one of the fans and the talking heads showing love. Okay.
Talking heads, that's to you.
I feel you.
Respectfully. You mentioned Veet as of late. Man, he had a great game last night, too. I think he was, what, 6 for 6?
From three.
Guys like Veet, guys like Garrison, the Hawks have been riddled with injuries this year. How important has it been for those guys to step up in absences like a Jalen Johnson or like a Big O that's been out for a couple of games or all that?
It's very important having those guys. They're showing what they can bring to a team right now with us. I mean, while we've been on this winning streak and just playing really well here recently, like, And that's why, like, every game matters, no matter where you're at in the standings or what, because you're always auditioning. Like, even the best players are auditioning every night. So, V and Garrison getting the opportunity, Bruno getting the opportunity he's getting right now. Like, he's not only making money for himself with hopefully the Hawks, but I mean, if it doesn't work out here, it's somewhere else. So it's like, that's why you got to keep playing. You got to have guys like this, and they're always going to benefit from like guys going down. And so that's why it's always next man up and making sure everybody's still ready.
My men's league team has been missing me too. You know, I kind of twisted my ankle and couldn't give them my normal double-double, man. And
you're what, 15-15?
You know.
Something slight. That is kind of crazy.
It's a good stat line. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. But, you know, back to injuries, I'll say is that one guy that I think if somebody told you that he wasn't a candidate for most improved player this year, they would be lying, is Jalen Johnson. I know you guys just got him back. He's kind of working his way back into the lineup. How important has he been for your guys' squad this year? And what do you see in young fella that you're just looking to watch his path continue to ascend?
I mean, he's going
to
be so special. Like, if he doesn't have any injuries, like, he's so talented. Like, he can rebound and push it like a guard and then play above the rim like a big. I mean, and his ability to be better at shooting this year, it's like he should have, I mean, won most improved player if he would have played enough games. And but like I said, I mean, injuries are part of the game, and it's unfortunate. But he's, I mean, a hell of a player. So that's the only thing that's stopping Jalen is injuries, in my opinion.
So I think that warrants a larger conversation that I'm interested to get your opinion on is the 65-game minimum rule. Jalen, because he's missed a certain amount of games, will no longer qualify for the Most Improved Player Award. But there have been other stars in the league that have missed significant amount of time. Joel Embiid, for example, that will no longer be, you know, be able to qualify for those end of season awards. What's your take on the 65-game rule?
I think it's a good thing. Like, I think it, I mean, it forces players to play. If you're able to play, I mean, I'm one of those guys. If I didn't have a torn ligament or a broken bone on my body, like, I would be playing. I like it. I mean, I don't mind it because I'm the type of guy that, I mean, I'm playing through anything. So me being out more than 17, 18 games, I mean, you deserve not to probably be in the awards with some of the guys that play all them games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been a fault to certain awards because guys miss the whole season and their stats are still high, but they miss most of the season when I'm playing all the games in the regular season. So it's just like, it could have been different for me if this rule is the start of my career. But I mean, I like the rule, to be honest with you. Like, I think it forces players to play.
Honestly, like, I agree, to be honest. Although unfortunate in some situations, like you said, bad luck or some other, you know, unforeseen circumstance, I think the rule is good, and I think we've seen like a higher engagement from players. You know, more guys are not missing that many games now. And for the overall fan like me, who's not out there with y'all, you could see your favorite players play. So I agree.
But a lot of people don't understand too that, like, I mean, the media votes for a lot of these guys for awards and all these things, and you getting awards can affect your money too, and getting bigger contracts. So sometimes, like, not playing all those games and still getting awards versus guys that are playing the whole season and still not getting the awards, like, it can affect them. I mean, it didn't happen to me, but I know some people that it's affected. So like, and they play a lot of games. So I feel like it forces people that if you're banged up or little things and little things like that, like, you can play through, like, it forces those guys to play.
Yeah. And I think you made a great point is that at least it took me a while to, I feel like, educate myself, but those intricacies of the game, like, you see the All-NBA season award and you're like, okay, great, these are the best 15 players, but some people don't understand that, like, that's like not like a tiny bit of money, not like a like a little tiny bonus. We're talking about like millions and millions and millions of dollars that is life-changing no matter what. So you're right, those end-of-season awards, that the media votes on are a big deal. Just like All-Star, those All-Star bonuses.
For sure, for sure. And that's why it's frustrating to some guys, like, when they don't make it. And I can understand why. So, I mean, I like it.
Yeah. Like myself, I'm a fan of the game. I'm hoping you get to play, but you've been a fan. You know, you sit in the same seat. Mm-hmm. You sit a little bit lower to the court than I do, but, you know, you kind of a fan of the game. You know, we're actually at Techwood where they film Inside the NBA with Shaq. And he says the MVP award should be, and I quote, the baddest motherfucker in the league, regardless of standings. Sorry, Mom, I don't normally cuss. I apologize, but, you know, just getting that out there. But I think end of season awards is like a really interesting topic because I think a lot of people have different opinions on them. Mm-hmm. Shaq obviously says, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're that dude, you deserve the MVP. What's Trae Young's take on those kind of in-season, end-of-season awards? Like, do you think it's that, or you think it's the best player on the best team with the best standing in the NBA or the West or East?
I mean, the goalpost has been moved so many times, like, ain't nobody gonna be right. And ain't nobody gonna know until, I mean, what the criteria is until the commissioner just makes one. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always gonna be fluctuated. There's been times guys have been 5 seeds, 4 seeds, and one in, and most of the time it is goes to the best player on the best team, because usually they dominate for the longest period of time and their team has been dominant all year. So it should be usually that way. Players on the most winning teams on that season. But there are years, like, I mean, you see the numbers Luka's putting up. Like, you putting up those type of numbers, like, you're going to be in the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. You should be at least in the MVP conversation. But, I mean, you see guys like Jokic putting up similar or close to,
right,
in a lot of ways, numbers that Luka puts up. It's kind of debatable. Then you go on team record, and you're always going to pick the winning guys. So, this year, I mean, it's probably going to be it decided down to those two and Shea, but they all have similar, similar things when it comes to stats and stuff like that.
I guess for me in particular, and again, like, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, but the Celtics are the number one team in the NBA right now. Yet, like, I haven't really seen, like, I know he's up there, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both respectively have been playing great for that team. Yet it seems like all the attention is focused on the Lukas, the Jokic's, and the Shays. As a player, when you talk about that goalpost being moved, how frustrating can that be at sometimes? Because at the end of the day, like, y'all are competitors too.
It can be a lot, but I haven't talked to Jason about it, but I feel like he would know, like, it comes with the territory. Like, I think he knows if he wins a championship that, I mean, he's going to be the talk of, I mean, being a front runner MVP next year.
Yep.
Like, I think him just being fortunate and blessed to have really great teammates ever since he's gotten into the league, whether it's right or wrong, people hold that as a grudge, I mean, and hold that against him. And, I mean, he's been fortunate enough to be on a really good team. So it's like, I think he understands if he wins a championship, then people, the outlook and what people see him as will be different.
Yeah, to hardware speak. Just to drop some of those numbers in there for those three guys you mentioned, Jokic this year is averaging 26.1 points per game, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists. Shea is averaging 30.3 points per game, 6.3 assists, and 5.3 rebounds. And Luka is averaging 34, 10, and 9, which is, that's crazy.
If you're gonna go off numbers and you didn't put the team, you was just put player A, player B, player C with no names, you're gonna go with the dude who has the most numbers, right? But then you're gonna look at their team record, you're gonna say, wait, they're number one on the same side with the guy that's averaging that many stats?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go put it. So that's how it usually works. But then there's times like what Luka's putting up is ridiculous. Like,
that's insane.
So that's ridiculous. Yeah. So that's why he's in the conversation. If he wasn't putting up those numbers, there's guys like in other cities like Giannis, like, they're number two seed in the East, but he's not getting talked about like Luka, like, because of the numbers Luka's putting up, and he deserves it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, it's a debate, and, like, everybody's going to have their own opinion.
Yeah.
And you're right. There is no, not only is the criteria kind of shifting, from time to time, but there's no right
all the time.
There's yeah. Thank you. There's no right answer.
Yeah,
facts. I'll say. But hey, man, it's April. It's March Madness is coming to a close here. We've got some really, really, really great action on both the men's and women's side. The Final Four just got set last night, but I specifically wanted to shine a light on the women's games, specifically last night, the LSU and Iowa matchup, and then also USC versus UConn. So I'll start with LSU and Iowa. They obviously were matched up in the championship last year, and both of them came out and said it was not a revenge game. I know in a couple times in your career that you've had those games where you maybe got bounced in the playoffs by a team and got them back the next year, or maybe dropped three and then sent them home, like in the playoffs. Like, are revenge games quote unquote like a thing, or is it more so like you're taking each game with, like, when that buzzer go off for the first time, like, just go from there?
I mean, I think that revenge game, like, narrative is like more, I mean, it can be more of like an NBA thing, but it's so hard because every team every year is usually different. Even in college now, it's like there's a lot, like Haley wasn't on LSU last year. She was at Louisville. So like, what does she have to revenge in this? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like,
yeah. In
a lot of ways, a lot of these players feel, I mean, at least I would, like, this ain't no revenge game. Like, we're a totally different team. They're a totally different team. We back in a big time spotlight. Let's make our own name. Like, yeah. I feel like that's what they're kind of doing. How would you see it?
I think there are aspects of the game that make it like more hyped up. I don't think revenge is the right term, because you're right. Like, it's a totally different situation. If they ran a national championship back the next day, that's a revenge game.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody dropped one and all that. But I think, I think you actually said it perfectly, to be honest.
I just don't think it's a revenge game. I mean, obviously the two biggest stars with Angel and Caitlin being there, and I mean, them doing her doing this,
love
and
it.
Doing all that stuff, like, that's going to make it like a war type revenge type feel. But I mean, outside of them two and Flage and some of the other people that were there last year, it's like, it's not really a revenge game for everybody.
Yeah, it's just you taking care of what, there's a lot of hype around the game because of what has happened, but I agree. Yeah. It's not a revenge game. It's totally different. Just for some stats, Caitlin last night dropped 41 points, 7 rebounds, and 12 assists. I mean, how you guard somebody like that? I mean, she hitting.
You can't, though.
Left side steps, like.
Yeah, she has the little hang dribble. People don't understand. When she's dribbling with her left hand, she hangs. Look, they showing the meme. They had the reverse Jordan.
Yeah.
But I call that the reverse MJ, just because whenever your opponent is doing it. I didn't have that a couple of times. Whenever they just like, come on, man. But, I mean, it's crazy. Like, 40 and 12, like, people don't understand, like, that's not easy. Like, scoring and then getting everybody involved, what she's doing is unbelievable.
And so how you guard somebody like that? Because, again, you know, for what it's worth, like, I'm cool on my men's league team, but, like, I'm not, you know, I never was like that.
Yeah.
No, that I mean, dude like that. But just guarding somebody like that who not only is a threat that far away from the basket, but can actually get by you and can finish around the rim, women's or men's, like, that just creates problems. So, well,
no, I mean, if you look at it at the beginning of the game, she was just driving to the basket. She was getting layup after layup. And so at some point, the defender that's guarding her way out on the perimeter because they don't want her to shoot threes is going to sag off and be like, okay, I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to let her just keep driving by me.
Yeah.
So then she was using her, she was dribbling with her left, and then she was using her hang dribble just to read if she was going to be able to blow by her defender or not. And she was just doing step backs and side steps and dribbling in the lane, dribbling back out, and then shooting threes. But it started with her getting to the basket and just getting some layups, getting easy ones, getting some and ones to start the game. Like, you could tell that she had a plan on what she was doing all night.
Yeah. From a bird's eye view, what's your perspective about this, like, extreme influx of interest in the women's game? And I'll preface by saying there's always been an interest there, but it's just, like you said, like, this like that motion in the national championship game, like that's great for the game. Like from a bird's eye view, where do you see the women's game going and how have you appreciated how much it's grown over the past, you know, even 18 months?
Yeah, I mean, I've been more involved with like watching women's games like since I got drafted to Atlanta and going to Atlanta Dream Games my rookie year. Like that was like the first WNBA games I was going to. Like, so seeing them and like, you really get to appreciate the game, especially when you go to it. They're very skilled. Like women can play, and then you got girls like Caitlin and Juju coming up, Paige balling. I mean, Angel Reese and Flage. Like there's a bunch of, I mean, young women that are like, obviously like making the game more exciting to watch. Yeah. So it's like, it's really good for the game. And I'm tuned in. I was tuned in from the, I was ready. All day yesterday, like
we were locked in yesterday.
Like, some good hoops tonight. Like
it was like, nah, fellas, we're not going out to eat. We
had that, and then we had the Hawks game, just back and forth.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's dope. Like I said, I just wanted to give like the flowers to the women in particular, though. I think they're like this tournament run in particular has done leaps and bounds. If I'm not mistaken, I think that last night the LSU Iowa game was like one of, if not the most highly viewed college women's game on TV. It was.
Yeah. Just saw it. Yeah. It was the most. I think it was like 12 million or something. Like,
sheesh.
More than some major league sports games. So,
yeah.
Like the women, that's good. That's big for the women.
Yeah.
I think their negotiated TV deals or something is coming up this summer. So it's important to have like, Caitlin go to the W and then be big and then have this run that they're having right now.
Oh, yeah.
It benefits them all.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that the hype around the women's game is here to stay?
For sure. Juju's a freshman, right?
Average 30.
Yeah. No, and there's young women right now that are looking up to Juju and looking up to Paige and Caitlin and all these ladies we're naming that are going to be trying to duplicate and do even more. Yeah. So, I mean, it ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, she had a 50 ball too this season.
Yeah, see.
As a freshman. I think what is interesting is, you know, the women's game in college has quarters, the men's is obviously halves, but whenever you make it to the pros, it goes back to quarters for men's. Do you see
that's
a world?
So dumb.
Okay, why?
No, I just think that's so dumb. Like, why?
You think it should be the same?
Yeah, it should be the same. Like, I think halves is just so, it's just not, I mean, it's, I guess it's been, I don't know how long it's been that way, but I mean, high school is four quarters for men's and women's. I feel like, I think, you said it, the women's has already changed to quarters. Like, I don't know what the NCAA is doing as far as the men's side. Like, it should be four quarters. It should have been four quarters yesterday. Like, I don't understand that. It was frustrating when I was playing, too. Like, understanding under 16 to 12-minute timeouts, like, it's still, it's different. Like, they should just be quarters and keep it consistent from high school, college to the pros.
It would be consistent, like, all the way up and down. Other than that, is there anything that you would change about the college game? Because like I said, it's been a great March Madness. Like, you know, we've had some great games. Huge fan of the men's Tennessee team and the run that they made. Mm-hmm. Obviously, UConn got a great group this year on the men's side. Huge fan of Juju Watkins. Mm-hmm. Think Juju's game is so dope.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's like, I have a glaring change that I would like to say, but I'm interested to see what you got to say.
What do you think first?
I think, personally, I think that shot clock is way too long.
Yeah.
I think it's too much. The people are too talented now, in my opinion. The pace is too fast. Like, I think they got to consider shortening the shot clock. I don't know if 24 is the right number.
Yeah.
I don't even know if 25 is the right number. I just think 30 is too much, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that they should do. I mean, you don't really notice too much of a difference when you go from college to NBA. So it's like they should already do that too, to be honest with you. Like there's, I don't know, like there ain't been a ref I've met that I like. So I think like watching college basketball is like, I'm telling you, it's sometimes worse than just playing. Like I can't watch it because these kids be getting sometimes hacked. And like, that's why sometimes, like, unless you have a really good scorer like a Juju or a Paige or a Caitlin Clark, it's hard to watch certain games. And even like in the men's side, like there'd be lower scoring games on the men's side because they'd be getting hacked and fouled, and it'd be like terrible sometimes to watch. Because
I got another one. Like, I got another change.
It'd be bad, but
gotta get defensive 3 seconds in college.
And that's the reason why it's tough to score too. I mean, it's tough to score, but that's why I tell people about the NBA. Like, they talk about how easy it is to score, but it's just so much space. So like, if you want to watch defense, go watch some college basketball.
Like big fella from Purdue.
He's like, cold.
No, he's nice. Nice. I always respect, you know, big man's game. But think about it. Like, he don't have to leave the lane, though. And think about it, like, as a defender, especially as smaller guards, maybe like you or some. Like, bro, how are you supposed to score with somebody just.
Well, you got to have guys that can shoot.
That too.
You got to, like, that's. If you have guys who can shoot, that's how you beat them. Like, you got to. Zach Edey, his man, comes set a screen. And then you shoot off the screen. Yeah. So, like. If you ain't hitting off them screens, then you're going to lose that day.
Sure are.
Because you're going to get every rebound, and his team is too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
He had 40 the last game.
Yeah. There's been some great hoops.
Yeah, great hoops. On the men's side, the Final Four is set for NC State versus Purdue and UConn versus Alabama. What matchup between those two are you looking forward to most?
What were the two again?
It was NC State and Purdue. Versus you, and then the second game is UConn and Alabama.
Oh, so Rylan Griffin goes to Alabama. I need Rylan to hoop.
Been having a great tournament, by the way. Yeah, Sorry to interrupt you, but having a great tournament.
He played for my AU team, so need him to rep and go crazy. He's been playing well. So I'm cheering for Alabama that game, even though UConn's a beast and a monster.
Yeah.
I'm going for them, and then I got... Man, I like big fella Burns.
DJ Burns.
Burns be putting up numbers. Yo.
Yeah, man, he really do. And in fact, everyone's talking about DJ Burns, man.
Yeah.
That floater is nice, bro.
It works.
That floater is nice.
That floater works, I'm telling you, bro. He was like, it seemed like every time he'd either go over his right shoulder. I mean, he was going over his right shoulder every time, but he was getting to his spot and he was... Floater.
I'm like, cooking them.
I had to say something. I'm like, man, that floater works.
Yeah. Did you see the it was like a tweet or article or something that several NFL GMs had came out and were like, yeah, like we might be interested in big fella.
Gosh, no, stay away. Stay away from them. Just come over here and keep playing basketball. Nah, big fella.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I hear you, bro, but you too nice at hoop.
Yeah, man.
You're too nice at hoop.
They calling him Zeebo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Zeebo was nice, but.
Speaking of NFL GMs, is there or who do you think is the current NBA player that would thrive the most in the NFL?
I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of players that could play. I don't want NFL players taking it the wrong way, but I feel like there's a lot of NBA players that could play NFL. They're just physical. It's physical as hell.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd probably be... I seen Bron play. Flag. I don't know. Probably Ant.
Yeah, that's a great one, actually.
Ant athletic, so.
Ant's probably good. I was going to say your teammate, Sadiq Bey, actually.
Oh, yeah. Sadiq.
I was going to say your teammate.
Sadiq, and you can play any position.
Man. He's fast, strong. But... Speaking of DJ Burns floaters, there was a stat that had gone viral about, what was it, like 1,021 floaters and no dunks from Trae Young.
Yeah.
So talk to the kids, though, really quick. When you say a bucket is a bucket.
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, them floaters still count as 2 points. And you get to still feel your hands after. You can save your legs. You ain't got to jump as high and just dunk it every time. Like, if you can, more power to you. And I'm glad you can do it. But if you can't, don't worry. Like, you can still score. And, I mean, like I said, bucket's a bucket. Like, that's all that matters.
Is there ever going to be a game?
Yes.
Warm-up?
Yes. What are you talking about? You see me in warm-ups. I thought you were just talking about a game. We have video of everything, so we can pull out some
video.
I know,
but I'm just saying, is there going to be whenever the, I shouldn't have said warm up, but a real NBA game where we see Trae Young get his first dunk?
Yes, hopefully.
Okay. Hopefully. Y'all heard it from the Point family. Please hold Trae accountable here. Make sure he dunks in a game. If you can, spam his comments on IG, dunk a basketball, please.
See, okay.
But in technicality, whenever you're working on those floaters, whether it be the off season or during the season for maintenance, what are some drills that you do to work on those floaters, and how important is touch when it comes to shooting that high of a percentage of floaters?
I mean, it's important, like whether you have somebody stand in front of the basket with a broom and just put it high and you just try to shoot it above the broom and float it in. Like, I mean, that's what I did as a kid. I mean, as I got older, I envisioned it in my head because I had done it so much. Like, but I feel like if you just do that, I mean, you can always work on your floater from short range, long range, like, and then it just works on your touch naturally because that's what you're doing. So, I mean, that's why I feel like I have pretty good touch, just because I'm always pretty good around the rim as far as my touch for floaters, and it's definitely important.
You think I still got time to perfect my craft of floaters, man?
Yeah, you got time, bro.
But I'm like not terribly unathletic, though. Like, I can still very easily dunk and all that.
Oh, wait.
Just easy.
Easy?
Easy. I'll show film. I'll show whatever. Just like you say, you got videos. I got videos.
I know you got videos dunking.
You see me.
Yeah, I've seen you dunk.
You see me. But you know, I'm actually being for real. It's like I'm kind of getting a little slower. I never was super fast to begin with, but.
You be good, bro. I could teach you.
Just keep working on it.
Just keep working on it,
just
bro.
Just keep working on my game. Okay, I'll be better for my men's league team. But since we're live in app, I wanted to end the episode with a few fan questions that have been commenting below. Since you've been injured, what have been some drills, both conditioning and, you know, on the court with the basketball that you've been doing just to make sure you're rehabbing quickly and also not losing, like, all your shape, all your touch, come back and then, you know, be rusty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always having, like, a ball in my hand, like if I'm around the house or if I'm just chilling, just messing with it in my right hand. I haven't been able to do anything with my left hand as far as dribble or anything like that. But yeah, today was the first day, or yesterday, the day we played the Bulls, I was meeting with doctors and stuff, and I was able to, first day I'm able to really be on the court and really dribble and mess around that way, so
yeah,
with my right hand. So I mean, I could have done that the whole time. I've been doing that, but getting conditioning in was the first time I was able to do that yesterday, and so I'm ramping up. So.
And I saw the drill where they're like throwing the tennis ball at you and trying to just make sure you're
So I'm doing that. Like I can't strengthen my hand until 6 weeks. So dude, there's a lot of things that I'm just
for sure.
I got to get clear before I can.
Yeah, totally. Since March Madness, you know, we're coming to a close here. I think the national championship game is next Monday. Who would be your all-time starting five of college hoopers?
Dang, all-time starting five of college hoopers. I'm gonna go position.
Okay.
All-time, gotta have my guy Shaq at the five. At the four. Even though we called the timeout, I'm going to put Chris Webber at the three. College. Man, there's some really good college players. KD at Texas was cold. Player of the year. My two, I'm going to put Steph. And then my one, I'm going to put Jimmer Fredette.
That's a good starting five.
Come on now. We ain't losing.
Yeah, that's a good starting five.
People sleep on Jimmer.
Yeah, that's a great starting five. Last question I've got for you is Rajon Rondo retired today. I know you former teammate of Raj, but what's been your favorite moment with him, and also a highlight of his career that you like?
Man, highlight of his career. I remember him beating Kobe, just being a fan of him, like him beating Kobe. In the Lakers, like, just cause I was a big Kobe fan, obviously. So like watching that series when I was a kid, like seeing him do the fake behind the pass, and everybody knows it as a rondo. Like, I remember practicing that way back then just from watching him. So being able to, like, learn from him and try to emulate some of his things that he did on the court from a distance was always fun. But then also being around him as a teammate was, yeah, like, was crazy. So just hearing some of the stories he had and just some of the memories he's been a part of, it just, it always was, like, an honor being his teammate. And it's tough to see him go, but, I mean, obviously he has his family. He has, I mean, his son is hooping. You see his highlights, yep, and things online that are going viral. So it's cool to see him being on that dad side and seeing that part, because I know he was excited about that. So it's cool, and I hope he enjoys retirement.
Yeah.
And it's going to be cool. I'm going to see him around.
Yeah, congratulations on an amazing career, Rajan. And I think that wraps up our episode. Thank you so much to our presenting sponsor, Sprite, for that crisp lemon-lime taste. It's the clear favorite.
Another episode of From the Point by your favorite point. Till next time. See y'all.
Till next time, y'all. Peace. Happy birthday, Macy.